here are the three most annoying words that I can think of on Christmas Day. Batteries not included. Well, believe it or not, even in 2013, you still need batteries for some of the most popular toys on the market. The Furby Boom, the Lego Mindstorm. And if you don't have any batteries, it could be because you, like many Americans, have been throwing your batteries away. Turns out we buy and throw away billions of batteries each year. Joining us from New York to talk about batteries is Philip Ross. He's senior editor at IEEE Spectrum. That is the magazine of the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers. And first, Philip, what should parents do for toys? Should they get rechargeables or should they go with the old-fashioned Duracells or Energizers?
It all depends on what the toy is for, how much the toy costs, and how long it's going to last. If they're going to be used by children in cheap toys that will break within 2 days, you don't care very much about a battery that lasts for 20 years. In fact, it would be crazy to buy a battery worth more than the toy. Of course, if you're very frugal, you'll take the battery out and use it for something else. But if you're not, you lose a dollar.
So when would you want to buy the more expensive battery? Just if the toy is more expensive or if the product is more expensive?
You're buying your father-in-law an expensive digital camera with lots of electrical power needs. As compared to the previous thing, it may be what you call equally high drain. It needs a lot of power, but it needs it again and again for years. You don't want your father-in-law running to the store to buy AAA batteries.
Have rechargeable batteries gotten better over the years? Are they significantly better than they used to be? Because I remember using rechargeables and they would run out of power much faster than the just regular batteries you buy at the supermarket.
Yes, there's two things going on here. You're remembering, I think, an earlier technology. It might be as far back as the early 90s, if you're talking about that. It would be nickel cadmium. That was a poisonous metal that was essentially outlawed. Then after that came nickel metal hydride. Those had some of the problems you refer to, though they got better over time. They didn't have a great amount of charge-carrying capacity. And what happened with them was you had to treat them well. You had to condition them. You had to drain them all the way down sometimes and then charge them all the way up. If you didn't do that, they'd kind of have a memory of having lost their energy, and they'd retain that memory to your disadvantage.
But that's not the case anymore.
Well, first of all, most of those have been superseded by lithium ion. These things have far more energy capacity. And another thing is, because they are a new technology, they're in the early phase of their battery development curve, meaning they're going to get a lot better soon, and then they'll reach a kind of peak, and then they'll kind of plateau, and then little improvements will come at great effort, and then it'll stop.
I have to ask why we're even getting batteries for our products at all anymore, because when you buy, for example, an iPhone, it comes with a lithium-ion polymer battery in it. You just charge it. You never have to even see the battery. Why do products still use the kinds of batteries that you have to go out and buy?
Well, that battery that you're talking about is quite expensive, and so is an iPhone, so it makes sense. But if you just want to put a couple of AA alkaline batteries or AAA in your remote control for your television set or your stereo, why would you want to spend more on the battery than on the thing itself?
Right.
Also, lithium ion batteries of the kind that the phone uses, they provide a lot of power. That's why you feel them actually getting hot in your hand when you're using the thing. And they do it all day long. Then they go down to nothing. You charge them up again for the next day and cycle after cycle. You're asking a lot of that battery. But if you just want a very low-drain thing like the remote control that I mentioned, or like a flashlight you have in your drawer that you don't use for 3 months and you use it for 10 minutes and then you don't use for 3 months, you can make do with a one-time-only cheap alkaline battery.
Now I want to ask you a question that I've always wondered, which is why do some things require AAA batteries and some require AA?
Well, the main reason is just the amount of size they've allotted to the battery compartment. You mentioned earlier iPhone has a lithium polymer battery. People might wonder, what's the difference between lithium ion, lithium polymer? Polymer is, like it sounds, plastic. It can be molded. You can shape it the way you like. The elves over at Apple have shaped it to fill every little nook and cranny that they could spare.
Interesting.
So that's why they do it that way. Another way of doing it is just to make a big old barrel-shaped thing and stick a huge old battery in there. If space isn't a problem, why would you want to economize on space, right? But AA seems to be the current size of choice for many things. It's kind of small, and yet it's standardized.
And yet there are also those 9-volt batteries, the weird ones that look like bricks. They go in your smoke detector sometimes. They have for years. I remember during Hurricane Sandy, the power went out. I needed to power a little alarm clock radio so I could hear the radio and hear what was going on. And I went straight to the smoke detector, took that 9-volt battery out, threw it into the radio. But why do we still have those?
I don't know how old your smoke detector is, but batteries are still carried in the stores to service things that are hardly made anymore. And that might be the explanation. Also, in a smoke detector, which sits there for a long time, you don't have any compunction about having a large battery in there.
Right.
So why not have a large battery and you can change it that less frequently? You mentioned something interesting, your emergency radio. You might consider for just such an emergency getting a hand-crankable one that also has a battery and it might even be plugged into the wall. Some of them even have solar panels. You leave them in the windowsill and they can recharge that way. But the point is you can crank them up when you need to.
One more question, and that is what to do with the batteries once they're done. Americans throw out 179,000 tons of batteries a year, of which about 14,000 tons are rechargeables, and they often contain toxic metals, mercury or cadmium, that are thrown into landfills, get into the air and the water. What are we supposed to do with our batteries when we're done with them?
There are nonprofits that will recycle them if you call them up in some parts of the country. And, of course, you can also often send these things back to the store, even through self-addressed kind of envelopes through one of the courier services. Supposedly, the store will take them at their own expense. I think it would be, if we were really concerned with this, quite doable to put deposits on them the way they have for glass bottles.
Get 5 cents back every time you bring your batteries in or whatever.
Yes, of course, that means it's 5 cents more up front, which people don't like because they often buy a product with a battery in it, and they really work hard to get below the magical price point, you know, $12, whatever it is. But that would be a possibility if we cared about it. Now, you mentioned the toxic metals. There's less and less of that now that the old nickel cadmium batteries are the thing of the past. There's some of it, but it's not as dangerous as before. On the other hand, lithium, which isn't at all toxic, is somewhat scarce. It comes mostly from Latin America. And it would be good if we could recycle them for that. Again, you'd need to have volume. You'd need to have a system running. It's not economical yet because if it were, they'd be doing it. But if the government wanted to make it economical, it could do so. It would be a way of stretching out our supplies of lithium.
Philip Ross is the senior editor for IEEE Spectrum. That's the magazine associated with the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers. Philip, thanks so much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.